The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Hey, it's Friday.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm doing tonight, Jason?
What's that?
I'll give you a hint.
Playing spades.
Playing spades.
Yeah.
Got my spades uniform on.
Uniform.
Yeah. Says I got six and a possible. You know, you know.
I do know.
You crunched the numbers during the break.
Yeah, so you were asking for the amount of days we've played this. How many times have we gotten a hit, correct? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, you have been you've played 18 times of going streaking. You have a hit in 12 of the 18.
That's pretty good.
I've done it 19 times, one more day. I've got a hit also in 12, so one
That's
less than you.
Really good.
Chris has played it less, 14 times, but he's got a hit 9 of the 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
So our averages are all really
good. Yeah.
Well, that's why we have the jobs we do.
There you go.
It's because we know baseball.
Sure.
Like the back of our hands, just like we know every single person on the roster.
Yeah.
Much like Brandon Nunes.
Yes, he does.
Senior Kings insider for Sacktown Sports.
Last appearance for this season.
For this season.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking would be kind of a funny thing to do because, look, I have gotten a couple of notes, I'll be honest. Got a couple of notes over the last couple of weeks because Brendan missed a couple of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a family here, and a lot of times we handle stuff internally. And so I got a couple of notes. It's like, hey, I thought you guys were punishing Brendan. I will just say it was handled internally,
yeah.
and I think the way Brendan handled it was fantastic.
I agree.
And all is forgiven.
Yeah.
But I did think it'd be kind of funny, though, to bring him on, and as a joke, you and I not be in here, and just Chris be like, yeah, Dave and Jason aren't here, Brendan, you got to carry the segment.
That's
just
clever.
On the fly.
Yeah.
But then I also thought, probably not good radio to have somebody doing an entire segment by themselves on the phone.
Yeah.
But I thought about it.
Yeah.
Joining us right now for the final time this season, Brendan Nunes. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, guys. You know, I think it would have been fair, and I am a little offended that you don't think I could have held my own for one segment.
No, to be clear, I 100% think you could. I was saying I don't think it would be good radio for you to do it on the phone.
Now, if that's fair.
I can tell you this for a fact. I found out about a half hour ago you were going to be on the phone and not in studio, which is fine. And it's part of the new norm.
Yeah.
Brendan's a little under the weather today. We should acknowledge that. And we appreciate the fact that you weren't like, I'm going to push through and come in, and then the rest of us are sick next week.
Yeah.
Especially with my immune system, which is not the best usually. So thank you for staying home and calling in and you know, powering through. Had you, though, been healthy, Brendan, and had you come in studio, I promise you that's exactly what would – we probably wouldn't have missed the whole segment, but I would have had – because Jason, I know, would have been – Jason had been the one be like, all right, maybe like a minute, maybe yeah. two. But we would have pulled that on you, and I think you would have done just fine.
Yeah, you know, I think I would have figured it out. I think that would have been deserved. I would have figured it out. Figured out some way to just talk about how this egg maker is just not cutting it, you know?
Good natured hazing, by the way.
If
you're going to haze good naturedly. But hold on.
He said something that. Yeah,
well, we were just.
I think that was a throwaway line.
Was that a throwaway line?
It was a throwaway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I told you my real feelings
you
previously.
Did, but I don't know. Maybe you got bored of it. Maybe something changed. Maybe it exploded. I don't know.
They've got offended really fast.
I could tell.
I know. After all the time, I was like, guys, don't worry. If you don't like it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Deep down, a little bit of feelings.
Yeah.
Jason, take
it away.
But
he liked it. Yeah. So, Brendan, tomorrow was going to be game three. Golden One Center, Kings, and, well, in this case, it would have been OKC. In your mind, I mean, there's lots of answers here. Why are the Kings not still involved? What happened? What happened here at the end to keep them away?
Hold on. They lost to the Pelicans.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, next. That's the only reason? Yeah.
I can confirm. I do believe they lost the game.
I didn't see that game.
And that may be the reason they're no longer playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, now whether it's that game specifically or just obviously seasons worth, just in your mind, why are they not, you know, the three seed or whatever they did a year ago that, you know, had everybody so excited?
Yeah, I mean, I think throughout the course of last regular season, they won a lot of really close games. And obviously, De'Aaron Fox was a big part of that, first clutch player of the year. And, you know, a couple more wins makes all the difference. And this is only a 46 wins compared to 48 last year. Really not far off there when it comes to just win total. The West just got better. But I can't help but point towards Malik and Kevin going down in the last 15 or so games of the year, both of them going down in that time. And I think there was defensive progress you really saw in both of those games. In the previous New Orleans matchups, they were averaging, I want to say, around 125 in the first six games that they played in that play-in. The Kings did hold them down. It was just that they were unable to score themselves, which I think kind of had been the nature of the team since Malik and Kevin went down, and it's hard to overcome, really.
Brendan is with us. Brendan is incredibly talented, also very young, and is still learning the ropes. For example, a couple days ago, right after the Sixth Man of the Year voting came out, Brendan Nunes quote tweeted Shams Charania's announcement, and Brendan said, "Incredibly, just really, this is a rookie move." Brendan said, and I quote, "Sad for Malik Monk, but Naz Reid had a great season."
Boo.
A perfectly normal, logical, whether you disagree or agree, take on it. But I looked at some of the comments, Brendan, and I almost jumped in there to defend my guy. But then I was like, no, I want to watch him get beat on for a while. That's the fun of social media.
You know, Dave, those are actually my favorite comments. I'm definitely guilty of liking all the people that are hating on me. It is just some of my favorite social media interactions. But, you know, for Sixth Man of the Year, I think what it comes down to is I just felt like, you know, I know it's the nature of it, but I felt like Naz Reid was getting tore down a lot in the process. And I really do feel like both guys were deserving. And, you know, honestly, Minnesota is one of the darlings of the league this year when Sacramento fit that bill last season. So I get the argument for Malik. I just think that both were deserving, and I think the voting showed that.
Brendan, I know this week was busy for you and Frankie, the guys that, you know, cover this team on a regular basis, because after elimination, then there's, you know, the whole day, what was it, Monday, Tuesday, the exit interviews, and then a couple two days ago, was Monty and Mike Brown. Of all of those that you heard, what was kind of your biggest takeaway from an individual or a comment or a quote? What was the one that kind of grabbed your attention the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think that because Monty and Mike were more recent, that probably sticks out a little bit more to me. But I would say that it's just more confirmation that, from speaking with Monty McNair, general manager, that this is just a very opportunistic front office. You know, I think that we've seen them function that way before, waiting for opportunities where maybe other teams don't have leverage that they typically do, or they're in a situation where maybe a guy asks out and because of that the price is a little lower than what it typically would be. I think that we've seen them do that with Domantas Sabonis, you know, and yes, that took Tyrese Halliburton, but I think Indiana was at a spot where they were looking to move on from one of those guys, so the price was a little bit lower. Or on a smaller scale, Chris Duarte, when Indiana drafts Benedict Mathurin, they have Buddy Hield and all these other guards, all of a sudden lottery pick becomes available. The Kings go snag them up for a cheap second rounder. And I think that they feel like they are in a position where they have a lot of flexibility to, in order to capitalize on anything that may present itself this offseason. And I feel like that's the way that we've seen this roster be built, and kind of got what I feel like is confirmation that that's still what I'm expecting moving forward.
Brendan Nunes with us. Brendan, I'm going to run a question by you we've been screwing around with today on the show and on social media. You know, the Kings have a lottery pick. By all accounts, this is a weak draft, but also we know better that certainly all-stars will be picked on this draft. We just don't know where. Would you, if the opportunity presented itself, would you in effect trade the Kings lottery pick? And by trade, I mean just basically throw it to the wind and draft Bronny James, if that meant that you were getting a salary cap fittable, opted out LeBron James for, let's say, the next 2 years? Would that be worth foregoing the lottery pick to you?
It's an easy yes for me. Now, I don't know if that is the scenario that we're dealing with.
No, of course. Yeah, of course. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would it's hard for me to say no. It's LeBron James, who is still phenomenal. I know we're watching the Lakers get smacked around by the Nuggets, but team sport here, and I still think LeBron is, you know, all NBA caliber guy. I'd have to say yes to that, I feel like.
Well, we have over 1,500 votes in since this morning. Would you like to take a guess as to what percentage of Kings fans are saying no and what percentage are saying yes to that?
Maybe we got like a 40 no, 60 yes.
Not bad.
Oh, where I went.
56.8 say yes. 43.2 say no. We all thought it would be a much more easy yes. I don't know if you know this or not either, but talk about synergy. You know, LeBron James started his career in Sacramento.
It's true. You know, maybe he wants to come home. Plays for the Kings. He had that old Instagram post where he got rid of one of the S's when he was warming up in Golden 1 Center in the background. Just says King. You know, it might fit.
Yeah. There you go. The King plays for the Kings.
Yeah.
Kings James.
What do you think their direction will be this offseason? With that pick, with obviously Malik Monk has got to be a huge talking point for Monty in the front office, but kind of what's your best read on where the organization might attack this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen the depth really need to be improved, and obviously no Malik or Kevin made that a little bit more of an issue than it typically would have been towards the end of the season. But I think that you have the MLE to work with, which gives you some flexibility there. And it's like the 13th odds, you know, there's good players that often go towards the end of the lottery in the teams here. So it is another one of those where I think they do appreciate having the optionality. I could see them trading it for, you know, I'm a big Mikal Bridges, Lauri Markkanen guy, or like Jimmy Butler is supposed to have contract extensions this offseason. If those don't go how he wants, you know, and these are all seem pie in the sky, but things change very quickly in the NBA. So I'd kind of expect them to be sitting there big fish hunting. But if the right opportunity isn't necessarily there, that we've seen them willing to be very patient, then maybe it is just splitting up the MLE. And obviously what you want to do with that changes based on if Malik stays or not. But they really have some optionality here. So I'd imagine you try to see if there's a logical, you know, big fish to go and chase. But if not, you have ways that you can split up getting some depth pieces, whether that be the 13th pick or the MLE and things like that.
Brendan Nunes joining us. You know, we graded, if you will, Monty McNair today. We've been doing this all week with players and Mike Brown and, you know, just playing a lot of their postseason comments. And the prevailing thought about Monty is that, you know, the Nuggets seem to be a little bit of a blueprint. We played a clip earlier of Nikola Jokic saying you need 2 to 3 years just to learn to play with each other. When you look at Monty, you know, it's been fairly pedestrian, except, you know, a couple of good draft picks and the huge, you know, grand slam swing he took with Haliburton Sabonis. But do you still have confidence that Monty's going to poke around and that we're probably getting a little bit closer to a big strike with him at some point?
I think we have to be. The timeline I keep really looking at is Keegan Murray, and he's going to get on his next contract, you know, which we're not getting far from. But I think until you reach that point, while he's still on rookie contract and giving you, you know, high-end starter caliber production, ideally, that you could bring in another notable deal and work with the finances that way. You know, if it's a guy that's a little bit later in his career, they can have more of a responsibility while Keegan comes into his own and then sort of swap as it becomes appropriate later. But, I mean, I think that everything that Monty does from and this front office has done from my perspective, like you can see the logic. And that makes it easy for me to continue to believe. I think that they have made sure that they – continue to maintain and keep this like treasure chest of assets, not amazing assets, but enough to still, I think, go and take one of those big swings. So I'm still a believer. I still see the, what I would say, I guess, is like the vision of how they do still have assets to go take that swing. But at some point it's like, okay, well, when are you going to do it? And I think it has to be this offseason. You know, we've seen them be very, very patient in the past. It wouldn't surprise me if we waited for a big swing until the deadline, for example, but it's got to be soon here. So I am following the logic, but at some point the swing has to happen in my mind.
Brendan, do you think they address Mike Brown this offseason with an extension, or is he going in kind of in that final year next year?
I think they should. I'll say that. I think that Mike has done everything that you've wanted in the 2 years that he's been here. I think the importance of stability that was kind of talked about in that Athletic article by some of the players. I mean, you guys have seen better than I have the instability that has been in Sacramento, whether that be in the front office or coaching staff and just all the complications that come with that. I think that he's gotten the best out of De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray. Players like to play with him. He's gotten good coaches to be his assistants to the point where some of them, like Jordy Fernandez, are going getting other head coaching jobs. I think he's done everything that you could ask. I don't think that he's your Mark Jackson and you need to go find a Steve Kerr. I think that Mike Brown's one of the best coaches in the league, and I think it'd be a mistake if he's not around.
So if they don't re-sign him this summer, is it every bit understandable that it is A, going to be a distraction next year, and B, that's a little bit of ineptitude on ownership's part?
I mean, that's definitely where I would go to. And honestly, in my mind, I would worry that would just be the first domino. You know, I don't know any of this, but like from De'Aaron Fox's standpoint, how frustrating would that be? You know, of it feels like everything's clicked and then that's what's going to end up happening. Or at least from my perspective, it feels like everything has started to click and you're trending in the right direction. Like, I would worry about that just being the first domino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's – and does it feel to you kind of – we've already kind of addressed all these things, but it does feel like for a team that was a 3 seed a year ago, missed out this year, this swing to launch back into the top six is really critical. It feels like a huge offseason for this team, don't you think?
It does. I mean, I think that the whole takeaway or the perspective I think that is important to have is just that this isn't linear. You know, you guys mentioned Jokic talking about it taking a couple of years just to get accustomed to playing with each other. And I think that this is where we're at with the Kings. You know, we saw this defensive progress from some of their core pieces. We still know there needs to be more talent on this roster before they take another jump. But I think that outside of, you know, you could look at just end results of the season, ending in the 8th seed or 9th seed, not making the postseason outside of the play-in games. Like, sure, that's technically a step backwards, but I think that some of the internal progress is still important for the long-term trajectory of this team, and this is still trending in the right direction, even though it's not all linear.
That is Kings insider Brendan Nunes talking about the season, and I'll ask you one more question since it's your final appearance on the program until training camp-ish, I guess.
Unless there's some breaking draft, news or
something like that. Yeah, we'll talk to him about the draft and, you know, maybe summer league. Brendan, was this year a disappointment?
I would not say it was a disappointment. I did think coming into the year that they needed to at least have a competitive first round. But I'll say I think that it's reasonable to say the goalposts moved when Kevin and Malik went down at the end of the year. You know, there are certainly plenty of losses throughout their year you can go back and point to as bad losses, right? We all know plenty. I forgot until yesterday if there's a really bad Indiana loss in there too.
Without Halliburton or Siakam at home.
Yep. There's enough that you can probably forget a couple. But I still think that the goalposts did move, unfortunately, when Malik and Kevin went down at the end of the year. And again, I think that internal growth from Fox and Murray specifically is enough for me to still say that this season was not. I think disappointment is fine. I guess I'll say failure, I think, is a term that I would say is too far. But disappointment is a fine term. It's still, you know, a positive trajectory, though, I'll say.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we appreciate all your work this year, Brendan. You can continue to read Brendan, Frankie, and all of our folks right at SacktownSports.com. And, yes, we'll be seeing you, obviously, in the halls, but we'll be talking to you throughout the summer, and, you know, get some rest, go to Cancun, and we'll see you next year.
There we go. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Brendan Nunes. Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
How do we grade Brendan?
It's tough. Yeah, missed some appearances, but the it's how you finish, right? And he got back on the show. Yeah.
Would Impressive. It be fair to say, would the player comp for Brendan Nunes in a sense be Harrison Barnes, in the sense that you love him when he's on, it's quality, but he doesn't always show up? Although, you know, Harrison did play in all 82,
right? Or is he Keegan home road splits?
Ooh,
what would make that Frankie? What would Frankie be?
Frankie's like Mateen Cleaves.
What?
Wow.
I don't know. Just what? 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 Oh, wow. Shade at Mateen Cleaves.
Shade at Frankie.
Ultimate teammates. Always has your back, waving the towel. See, that's
not in the game.
That's the difference between, well, none of us are in the game. That was my point. We're all on the sidelines watching. But
yeah, but you're calling the ultimate, Brendan Harrison Barnes.
Yes, a starter.
Guys, I'm just trying to clean up what I said, and you're not letting me. Because it was.
Oh, you can have this.
It was top,
go ahead.
It was top of the head. It was initially. I didn't realize it was an insult to Frankie. I love Mateen Cleaves. I think if Frankie were here, he'd be the pizza guy, right? He is the pizza guy.
So Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Comes in, hits some shots in the clutch. Sometimes he has cold days. Sometimes he has hot days. He's reliable. He's a great guy. I don't like that you backed off the microphone. We'll take a break. Excuse me. When we come back, what to watch this weekend, including day two of the NFL draft. Friday fun and games. Oh, we got to do celebrity birthdays in the next segment, too. Sit back, relax. We'll be right back after this.
Black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
This studio is starting to remind me of my house with the toilet paper rolls that my family won't put back on. I'm sitting here, I look over here, I was like, oh, I need some hand sanitizer. I reach over, not one, but two completely empty bottles. Oh, how hard is this? Look, it's in the garbage. What? I can't believe I did that. Is there hand sanitizer in there, Chris?
Maybe enough for three squirts.
This coming from you. That isn't that all your collection over there, pretty much?
No! This is my shirt I'll be taking home.
Yeah, why can't you just put your stuff away, guys?
This is the beam that I leave here for everyone.
Okay.
That's not my shoe.
It's not?
Oh, I don't know whose shoe that is.
It was your basketball,
though. It's a DeMarcus Cousins shoe. It was my basketball. Nate's Bubbles.
Yeah.
Not Bubbles, but his movie.
Movie Bubbles. Yeah, that's true. Pliers. I don't know why. The salt and pepper is not mine. The ibuprofen is, but again, that's the ibuprofen and the multivitamins.
Hasn't that been there for years?
It has. I do have like a little mini mart I try to keep over here of trail mix or Nutri-Grain bars or stuff that I for the, you know, let's be honest, Kyles of the world who are in here and stuck on a weekend or something. Yeah. It's not like there's a restaurant down the street, you know, but I'm not like leaving dog beds here
no,
for weeks.
You have not left your dog bed here for weeks at all.
Should probably take that back home. We'll get to celebrity birthdays here in just a minuto. There is a new DoorDash thing I saw, and I can't find it right now, but apparently there's a new initiative where in certain cities they will be offering up ballpark eats, but like not necessarily from the ballpark, but ballpark themed menus that certain restaurants, so like, you know, a chicken strips basket. And I'm going to say this about delivery. Like, it's convenient, but let's be honest. You pay a price in the...
It's DiGiorno.
You pay a price. Like, if you get a pizza delivered, that's great. We got a pizza delivered last night.
You did?
We did, as a matter of fact.
Is that because we talked about pizza yesterday?
We went to the exact same, not the one, but we went to the one that everyone was ripping on. Oh. There were three pizza chains mainly talked about. We went to the one that is also...
That you defended a little bit?
Yes, that I said they try really hard.
Oh.
Yeah, that
you
one.
You did that?
It's right by our house.
Okay.
Can I get a hint?
It's also, like, I'll be playing...
Chris, I play you in this.
Yeah, I'll be playing Spades tonight, but we could also play this game.
You know what? That's not fair of me to say that, because I would say when I have gone there, it's been like, oh, it's fine.
That's what I'm saying. That should be their slogan. Oh, it's fine.
Like, try us. It's
try
fine.
Us. And
it was okay.
Without saying their name, I will say I appreciate effort. And I feel like over the last 5 years, they've really tried. They've really tried, and it's incredibly edible pizza.
But you did it because of proximity, correct?
Yes, I did it mainly because of proximity.
If you had an option, you would not have.
Well, all
you had an option.
Price
but...
being considered, yes.
Okay.
Like, there's certainly better pizza in town. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I just can't in good conscience, usually. I can't pay $40 for a large pizza, dude. I just can't. I paid $40 for pizza last night. You know what I got? I got three medium specialty pizzas and cheesy sticks.
Oh, man, I'm out of cash.
So you have something to come home to.
You're damn right. And I also have leftover enchiladas, too. Oh, it's going to be a fun weekend. It's not what I was talking about. Oh.
Stinky.
Yeah, 100%. When you get a pizza delivered to you, though, like, cardboard boxes are natural, like, steamers. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting the same... pizza delivered is not the same as pizza at the place. I can't remember last time I ate pizza at a pizzeria, but it's better. Same thing, like you get chicken strips and stuff delivered. They're fine, but it's a little steamy.
But what are, I'm trying to think of like a sit-down pizza place.
Well, all of them you can, right?
Yeah. Not all, but, you know, you can go to your... Like the two we were talking about yesterday that are high-end chains. There's two in particular that are high-end chains. They've got sit down. What I miss, this was the worst thing about COVID, other than all the people that died, obviously. Like that was the worst thing about COVID was all the people that died. Let me be clear on that, and all the people that were affected. The one of the worst effects of COVID on businesses is there's no more, like, it killed the buffets, man.
Yeah.
Remember you used to be able to go into certain pizza places in the afternoon, pay like $10 and you get like all you can eat pizza and salad. Gone. The Thunder Valley Crab Buffet on weekends. Gone. I relied on that thing, man.
Relied on.
No, well, you know, every couple of months, wife and I'd head on out, put our bibs on, get our crackers. I'm talking about
There's a group of you guys together.
The metal nutcrackers they give you to crack open the crab, and let's go. And I would be going one by one piece of crab. My wife's the one that does the whole, like, I'm going to crack the whole crab and then put it in a pile and eat it. I miss that.
Okay.
Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Crumble Cookie. Birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends, and nothing brings family and friends together better than Crumble Cooker.
Well, I'm going to do an audible here because Celebrity Birthdays is going to be a part of our Friday Fun and Games. The birthday grid is back. That's coming your way in a moment.
I don't remember.
I hate the birthday grid.
I don't remember the birthday grid.
Oh, I love it. Chris
Was I here for the birthday grid?
You're going to see it.
Oh.
I want to see it. So what are we going to watch tonight?
Well... We're going to watch the Bucks at the Pacers.
Yay!
That's going to be... I'm excited for that. There's a little... I love a little extracurriculars.
Yeah.
There's that. Clippers, that series tied up at one. Clippers Mavericks to Dallas tied up at one. Have you been... When was the last time you were in Dallas? T-Wolves up 2-0 on the Suns.
You're getting a difficult birthday grid. Really? Come on. I didn't even like that.
I'm laughing because he's laughing.
What's Jason's reaction? I know.
That was a...
The last time you went to Dallas. I don't know.
What if like, Jason just lightly threw an empty coffee cup at me? What if that, like, weirdly broke a rib and I collapsed from it? Would you feel bad?
No.
A's,
I would have been like, that's an impressive throw.
That's what you get. A's at Orioles, Pirates at Giants.
Arr.
NFL draft day two.
Let's go. We're going.
Rounds two and three.
Sure.
We're off to Detroit.
Yep.
And I will be attempting. Oh, by the way, and tomorrow, the big one, Birmingham visits John Smith Stadium, Huddersfield Town. Got to win this to stay unrelegated.
Is it a must win?
It is beyond a must win. If they lose tomorrow, or I think pretty much if they even draw or tie, that's it. They're relegated. They're going down to League Oon. If they win, they get the full 3 points. They still need a little help. But the betting people said this morning, I read it, said that there is an 81.6% chance the Terriers get relegated this year. Next year, all of our coverage will be League One coverage right here on your home of the Huddersfield Town Terriers.
Hey, that's Sports. Where Wrexham is.
Yes, we will be playing Wrexham. Okay, he just did the thing to me that I did to you earlier. So now we have to both gang up on Chris at some point.
He's going to get a really difficult birthday
yes.
grid.
Coming up in a couple weeks, Man City in the FA Cup final. Stay tuned. Celebrity birthdays are not happening. We'll take a break. When we come back, Friday Fun and Games, Celebrity Birthday Edition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared. We'll do it next.
We have finally made it to Friday.
Let's end your week the right way with Friday Fun and Games.
On the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here we go.
Woo!
Here we go.
Let's
it's in time.
It. Oh, yeah. No time to waste.
No time to waste. Again. It's time for the birthday grid. I teased it going into the break.
Oh,
Celebrity
no.
birthday is brought to you by Crumble Cookies. Oh, birthdays are meant to be spent by family and friends. And nothing brings family and friends together better than Crumble Cookies. You guys have a sheet of paper in front of you. The grid is on the other side.
Do we turn it over?
Yeah, you can. Okay. You can look. So we're just going to jump right into the game. First round is offensive round. These are people having birthdays either today, tomorrow, or Sunday. They're celebrities, sports figures, whatever. Dave, this is the offensive round. You get to pick first from all... What is this, about 30 entries on there?
Yes.
Someone you feel most confident with. If you get it right, you get plus +3. Every year you're off, it's a minus. So we're keeping score.
All right.
Dave,
so
you're first.
I get to pick the grid. I'm going to take Aaron Judge.
How old is Aaron Judge turning this week?
Aaron Judge is turning 29.
29. Minus -3. He's going to 32.
God, he's old.
Alan.
Wow, he is. Okay, I will go with...
Your judge is off the board.
Keenan Allen.
Okay.
I'm going to say Keenan Allen is 32.
Keenan Allen is 32. Keenan Allen is 32.
Wow.
Allen knows his Allens.
Wow.
That's right. Great name.
Verlaud, you're next. Chris Verlaud.
I am going to take Jessica Alba.
Okay.
And I believe she is 43.
Okay. Damn. Believing she is 43, she is 43. Three.
Wow.
Three.
Wow.
Actually, right. A big Jessica Alba fan.
Such a loser.
Watkins. Of course, she's in Machete.
Sure.
Ma what?
Machete.
No time. Go.
No time.
What?
Yeah.
I will go with Arch Manning.
Okay. How old is Arch Manning turning?
I will say Arch is a 19-year-old.
Okay. So Arch Manning is turning 19.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, everybody nailed it but me.
Yeah, you're only six back already. Hello.
Damn it.
But here's where you can have your influence. This is the defensive round. Dave, you get to pick from the other three, one person off of this, and you can say, I want to give this to Alan or to Chris or to Chris.
Oh, let's see.
You want to do some damage. Drop a hammer here.
Yes, I am going to drop the hammer. I am going to give George Gervin...
Okay.
To Chris Watkins.
Huh. George Gervin to Chris Watkins. How old is George, the Iceman Gervin?
The Iceman is, we will say, 73.
Okay. Dave, you dropped a hammer of minus -1.
Wow. Good
72.
Job,
wow.
That's impressive.
Okay. So, Alan, you get to drop the hammer on anybody but Chris Watkins.
Sorry, Chris Verlaud. How old is too short?
Too short is...
I remember.
I remember when I was 19.
You can't do math.
He is 59.
Alan, your hammer is worth... Hello. Minus -1.
He's 58?
58.
Yeah. Dang.
All right. So now we are at Chris Verlaud. You have to drop the hammer on either Dave or Alan.
Dave.
What?
How old is Kevin James?
Christ. Kevin James is 58.
This hammer was worth minus -1.
Oh,
59. Okay, very good on this defensive
round.
Better
than
round.
The one I went on offense. That was only funny to me.
So,
focus here.
Right?
Chris Watkins, you have to... Drop the hammer on your partner here.
Oh, Styles Watkins.
Don't do it.
Oh, no.
I know what you're looking at.
I'll do Drew and Jonathan Scott.
Hello.
Home Improvement crew.
Right.
I'm so glad. I had no idea who that
That's
was.
That's why you take it off the board.
Yeah.
Right. Home Improvement crew. Okay, based on that, I'm going to say.
I help you?
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Wait, was that the kid, the middle kid?
that was Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to say, yeah, based on that, I'm going to say, yeah, 55.
55. Oof. Pretty effective hammer here, minus 9,
oh,
46.
Oh, in the ding ding.
All right. So after two
like
rounds.
Like how you tried to cover it.
Dave is at
went.
Minus 4, Allen's at minus 6, Chris Verlot is at, and Chris Watkins are both at plus 2. This
wow.
round
oh, wow.
is my choice.
Okay.
Oh, Dave, no. I would like you to tell me the age of, let's go with Bill Wennington, former king.
Mm. Bill Wennington is 66.
All right. Minus 5. He's 61. Wow. Alan, tell me how old John Daly is today or this week.
John Daly?
Carmichael's John Daly.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. Born. All right.
Is he 69?
Okay. He is not. That's minus 11.
Oh,
he's 58.
Wow.
Oh,
oh. Whoa. Wow. I would not have thought
yeah,
he was that young.
That's not your fault.
Wow.
Chris Verlod. Tell me how old Hall of Fame shortstop Barry Larkin is.
Oh, my goodness.
Barry Larkin is 62 today.
Minus 2. He's 60.
Oh, man. This
and
is a lot. Putting the pressure
let's
on.
Go to Watkins, and let's say how old is...
Nobody can see Verlod's screen.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a strong
there.
Point.
Action figure Jet Li.
Oh gosh.
This is going to be one
this
of those.
Is
yeah.
terrible.
It
this
really
is so bad.
Don't have to overthink it.
Well, what was his debut
mean,
movie was
I
would have
liked Jet Li.
He debuted
I
in what?
Given it to you.
2017.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
We'll say Jet Li
child actor
would have been
would have
60,
been.
Sure, why not? 67.
67.
Would have been.
Yeah, minus 6, 61.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, last round here. We'll see here. the mystery round. So those bottom questions, you don't know what it is. This is in entertainment, Carmichael Dave.
Yeah.
On this weekend, in what year was the song from Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It, released?
1984.
Carmichael Dave, plus 3. Correct
let's
answer.
Let's go, D. Snyder!
Wow.
Alan, let's give you nice. The movie Friday was released in what year?
Oh, shoot. Man, I think all the 90s movies were made older than you think. I'm going to say Friday.
Take your time.
Was it 93?
95.
Minus 2, 1995. Yep. Chris Verlod, let's give you the Katy Perry song, I Kissed a Girl, was released when?
Katy Perry. No Katy Perry psychouts.
2010.
Ooh, that's a minus good guess. 2, 2008. And
loser.
Chris Watkins, the movie Bridesmaids.
Oh, man.
Was released.
2015.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Minus 4, 2011.
Wow. Okay, Verlon wins.
I don't know. Yeah, I think you did.
Upside yep. down day, I win. Dave, I'm wearing the shirt you wore yesterday. I did that
you
on my
are, That's right. As a matter of
Do
fact,
you have the shoes on?
Yours fits better. Mm-hmm. All right, lots of draft talk, King stuff, something else. And other
Emil Fragoso coming up. We'll have him for 30 minutes. Don't want to miss that. Breaking down all things Niners and the Raiders.
As he's not a snack, he's a meal. He'll join these guys next.
Hey, shout out to Joe Girose, too.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Happy trails, Joe Girose. Many returns, and love you, big guy.
Or no returns.
Miss your pants.
What?
So you always wore those cool-looking pants.
That feels like a violation.
That's how we're going to end this week.
That's
like that.
How you
no.
are.
Bye-bye now.
Listening to